Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who's going to take care of me when I get older? How are we going to make sense out of all the stuff we can't make sense out of? How are we going to deal with the inevitability that at some point in our life, all of us, and I mean all of us, are going to need some form of care? How are we going to do that? How are you going to do that? How do we deal with the guilt of having to deal with our mom or our dad or our loved one and put them in a home or get them care or turn their care over to someone else? How do we deal with all of that? Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show. That's all about the issues of aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, here for almost 20 years on KFBK, talking about what I think is important and what's important to me. That is long-term care issues. Lots to talk about, as always. Today, you might want to have a pencil and paper handy, unless you're driving. Then I don't want you to, unless you're the passenger. Or listen to this show later on my website. Let me get a couple of things out of the way that I have to say every week. If I don't say these things, somebody gets really, really mad. I got a really mad letter from somebody the other day, a page long. So if I don't say these things, somebody gets mad. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I can't give you legal advice. Everything we talk about on this show or in anything I print or anything I write, it's my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. I have a legal document assistant license that allows me to prepare legal documents for you at your request and direction. I have a California insurance license. Doesn't mean anything, just means I have to tell you. I am not a licensed TV repairman. Somebody will get mad at me if I don't say that. And I probably can't snake a drain. So I have to make sure we say all that stuff. Otherwise, somebody gets really upset. You know, I've been on 20 years, folks, and I've been doing this almost 30. And I cannot tell you how many people hate this show that I'm on. There is an entire long-term care industrial complex, all of whom feed off of each other. From lawyers to assisted living facilities to care placement agencies to whatever. One of the things I'm the most proud of is I don't share any fees with anybody. I don't share fees with attorneys. I don't share fees with care homes. I don't share fees with nursing homes. I don't give money to discharge planners at hospitals. I don't do any of that stuff. But let me tell you right now that this is an incestuous business. And there are a whole bunch of people who don't want you to know that you can get Medi-Cal. There are a whole bunch of people who want you to think that the only thing you can do is get a divorce. There's people who are going to tell you all kinds of stuff because they have some vested interest in you believing a lie. So when I tell you that this show is, and my business and what I do, is been harassed for 30 years, I'm not making it up. It's not a poor me thing. I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can do it. But you need to know that there is an entire industry built around a lie. There's an entire industry, and we're going to talk about that today a little bit, built around that you can't do this. I had somebody come into my office the other day and tell me that an attorney had told them there was a four-year look back on the transfer of a home. By the way, there's no such thing. Now, my point being, there's a lot of people out there who think they know this stuff, and they don't. One of the beauties of listening to me is that I know what I don't know. So when I don't know something or it's out of my pay grade, one of the things I've learned in 30 years is people who can do this. People who can do what I can't do. Or I'm not good at. So be really careful when somebody tells you you can't do something, or somebody tells you, you know, that asset's an aging guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about, blah, 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 blah. Find out how they make their money and find out if they're just part of the long-term care industrial complex, to paraphrase Eisenhower. You have to be old to know what I'm talking about. So be really careful where you get your advice. Be really careful when you ask questions. Make sure somebody can always... So when somebody tells you there's a four-year look back on the transfer of a house, make them show you the regulation. When somebody says there's a three-year look back, make them show you the regulation. By the way, it doesn't exist. When somebody tells you they're going to take your house away, make them show you the regulation where it says that. When someone tells you you can only have $2,000, make them show you the regulation where it says that. It's one of the reasons I wrote a book. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But be really careful, because there really is, this is not, you know, paranoia. There really is an entire long-term care industrial complex connected. I got to be careful where I go from here. But just be careful. What I once did a diagram. I showed it to somebody in the assembly. I believe it was a state assemblyman, and they were aghast. It was a diagram called the chairs, and it's how money makes the go around in the long-term care industry. It was a long time ago, from nonprofits to attorneys, to discharge planners, to hospitals, to placement agencies, to you name it. There's a large connection between what's going on and your wallet. So just ask a lot of questions. And when somebody says, well, I heard you can't do that, make sure you ask them to show you the regulation where it says you can't do that. I just think that's a good idea in general. So what else? How do you get a hold of me? Well, first of all, I've got an upcoming workshop on the 7th, April the 7th, at 10 in the morning at the Crown Plaza, the old Holiday Inn, the Crown Plaza, right here in Sacramento. It'll start at 10. It's free, but you have to have a ticket to get in. Well, Bob, how do I get a ticket? Well, you go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, assets, and aging.com. And right there on my homepage, there'll be a place where you can sign up. Isn't that clever of me? You can sign up, and I will email you a ticket. Well, Bob, I don't have email. Then call my 800 number, 800-999-8007. I'll get some information from you, and I'll mail you a ticket. I know how to use a stamp. if you haven't been to one of my workshops before, get to the one on the 7th. By the way, the little mini workshops we did this month were really successful. I think people really, 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 truly enjoyed it. I think people had a really, really, really good time. I think people learned a lot. I know it, because they told me that people really learned a lot about their own families and about their own options as a family, and I like that. People should know what their options are when it comes to long-term care planning and care homes and government benefits and all that kind of stuff. I just think it's an important thing, and I think it's a good thing. So lots of ways to get a hold of me then. My website, assetsandaging.com. My phone number, 800-999-8007. Send me an email at bob@assetsandaging.com. You can do that on my website. Get to my next workshop on the 7th. You won't want to miss it, especially after what we talked about, what we talk about in a little bit, which will take up the rest of the show. If you have questions, if you're in crisis, give me a call and we'll see if we can't help. And if I can't help, I'll try to get you to somebody that that can. I know people who can help with almost any area. So give me a call, get on my website, sign up for the workshop, come in and see me. And I've probably forgotten something, but I'll pick up on it on the rest of the show. If some of you may not know this, I don't do this from a script. I do this from 30 years of doing this. So I try to talk about what interests me that week or what's come up in my office that week or what people questions people have called me about or brought me, and we try to go from there. So here's what I want to talk about. Let's see, I covered the basic stuff. I covered the workshop. Oh, my book. See, I knew I'd forget something. My book's out. It's been out now for about a week in printed form, in paperback. I'll have a bunch of them at the workshop. When you come to the workshop, you can buy them. They're $20 in print. I'll even autograph it if you want it autographed. If you can't come to the workshop, you can always, we're working on PayPal right now, but we haven't gotten there yet. The book is not available via PayPal right now. But you can send me a check for $20, and I will mail you a book. You can send me a check to Bob Scrivano, P.O. Box 417-310, Sacramento 95841. And I will mail you out a book, tout suite, as Poirot would say. If you don't know who Poirot is, then I can't help you. Okay, here's what I want to talk about today. Those of you that get my newsletter already have this, and it's my subject for the week. Instead of the podcast this week, I told everybody to listen to this show. And you can listen to this show, by the way, on my website. So if you don't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you want to listen to this show at another time, you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and all of my radio shows and podcasts, my past ones, are archived there. So you can go listen to this show again or tell somebody about it and have them listen to it on my website. You can sign up for my newsletter on my website. But this is the newsletter I just sent out to everybody that's on my list, and it's called You Have a Choice. And I don't do this very often, but I'm going to read part of this. We're going to spend the rest of the show on this. The rest of this half hour and next half hour. So let me read you part of this, and then we'll talk about it. In life, this is from my newsletter. In life, we do not always have a choice. Who your parents are, your gender, your ethnicity, your nationality, and so much more. We don't have a choice in that. We can, however, control many of our choices. What's for dinner? Where do we live, what kind of car we drive, and so on. We also have a choice when it comes to who will care for us as we age and where that care will take place. We will make this choice in one of two ways, pre-crisis mode or crisis mode. And then we're going to talk about that in a minute, but I want to continue reading from my little newsletter after this will make more sense in context. Every day, I see or hear from people in crisis mode. I saw somebody just before I started the recording of this show. They're in crisis mode. They have a parent who's declining. They're trying to decide where to put the parent, how they're going to pay for it, what about VA, what about just Medi-Cal, what about that, what about their long-term care insurance policy, how do they use that best? Every day, I see or hear from people in crisis mode. They don't know where to go. They don't know who's in charge, where's the money, how to pay, and on. They have little or no choice and are nearly always agitated and afraid. I talked to the two children today. They're just conflicted. They don't know what to do. The 900-pound gorilla in the room, guilt, is driving them crazy. Those folks who have planned for this stuff have an enormous advantage in two areas. First, they have choices. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. Where to go, money management, level of care, etc. The other area of great advantage is time. People who have planned for this stuff, these people have the ability to think and act deliberately and rationally. Good, well thought out decisions are made. More time helps everyone avoid panic and disarray. So what I want to talk about for the rest of the show is what's the difference between pre-crisis planning and crisis planning. So make two columns if you can write this down on a piece of paper. On the left, put pre-crisis planning, and on the right, if you've got my newsletter, you already have this in front of you. And on the right, put down crisis planning. And let's talk about the differences between those. And I really want you to listen, and it'll make sense to you as we go along. It makes a huge amount of sense to me. And again, we're talking about planning for care of a failing loved one, myself, my spouse, my mom, my dad, my grammy, my grampy, my Uncle Fred, whoever it is. So with pre-crisis planning, there are abundant care options. So the people in my office today, you know, they're trying to figure out where should their parent go. Try to stay at home, go to assisted living, go to a memory care. What about a nursing home? How do we pick one? Which one? All that kind of stuff. When you're doing pre-crisis planning, when you're planning all this out in advance, you get to sit and figure out all of those and which one would be the best for mom or dad. Which one is the best now, but what one might we have to use in the future? So we have abundant care options. If we needed a caregiver at home, who's it going to be? Is it going to be one of the kids? Is it going to be the granddaughter? Are we going to have to hire somebody? We can go through and think out all the things that are possible. All the things that are possible when it comes to our care options. If we're a spouse, we can say, okay, could you take care of me? Could I take care of you? What if one of us isn't around? Then who would take care of us? So with pre-crisis planning, we have abundant care options. They're limitless. Go to the other column. If we're doing crisis planning, which means we're in the middle of it, you know, there's no planning here. We're in the middle of it. Now what do? We have limited care options. I can't tell you the number of people who call and say, my mom needs to be in a nursing home today. My mom needs to be in assisted living today. My mom needs a caregiver today. How do I find one? What's the best one? And sometimes they take where they can go. I have someone that was just in my office last week. They live down in the Stockton area. Mom is in a care home in Sacramento, and I want to say northeast Sacramento. They drive back and forth because they didn't know, because they were told by the hospital that this is where this person had to go, and so that's where they went, and they didn't know that they had a choice. They took what was available. I have another client who lives in Sacramento who wound up having to put a spouse in a care home in Alameda because it was a crisis. They had done no pre-planning, and they had to go where the hospital told them there was a bed, or they thought they did. And by the way, that person is still in Alameda years later. So with pre-crisis planning, we have a broad choice of care options, and we can figure out what's it going to cost, what's best, who's going to do it, what are we going to do when this day happens. With crisis planning, we are limited to what circumstance demands of us. It just makes more sense. Pre-crisis planning, abundant care options. Crisis planning, limited care options. It's a huge difference. I actually in the workshop I've changed the name a little bit. I'm going to call it In Crisis Planning, because crisis plan, you know, you're in the middle of it when you're doing this. Okay, let's go back to the left side of the left column now. With pre-crisis planning, we have the choice of best care. We get to go shop. We get to go visit places that mom might be in or dad might. So we can go to Shady Acres, and we can go to Apple Tree Orchard, and we can go to wherever, whatever place it is, and we can look, and we can talk to the staff, and we can figure out what do we like, what don't we like. Gee, this is nice. Ooh, I wish this place doesn't have this. This place costs this much. Ooh, this place is really pretty expensive. We don't know about that. So we get the choice of the best care. We can get to know people in that facility. We might get to know the manager so that when the day comes when something happens, we have somebody to call. Wouldn't that be nice? We have, with pre-crisis planning, we have the choice. We have the choice of the best care. With in-crisis planning, you take what you can get. You're in the middle of a crisis. You're calling places like crazy. I have a client who's trying to, he lives in a rural area, trying to get a spouse in a nursing home, has called over 20 facilities. None of them will take the ill person. None of them. Because trying to do in-crisis planning. It's a huge difference. So with pre-crisis planning, pardon me, with pre-crisis planning, we get the choice of best care. With in-crisis planning, take what you can get. Well, Bob, how do you do all this? We're going to talk more about that as we go on, and I'll be talking about that a lot at the workshop on the 7th, on April the 7th. I talk about it a lot in the book. People also say, well, if you're pre-planning, doesn't that like cost money? And the answer is, sure it does. But let me ask you, what's better? What's better? What's paying $10,000 a month for somebody for 2 years or 6 months, or having done some pre-planning and maybe not having to pay anything, or getting the care at a reduced cost because you pre-planned? You didn't take what was available. You took what you planned for. So when people start saying, well, what does it cost? My answer always is, well, what does it cost if you do nothing? How much is a nursing home? $10,000 a month? $12,000 a month? $15,000 a month for home care? I have somebody on home care right now, folks, paying $14,000 a month. At $14,000 a month, how long does the money last? How much does that cost? So when people say to me, well, what does it cost? That's a mask for not wanting to deal with an uncomfortable issue. Cost is relative. You want four-wheel drive? It costs more than two-wheel drive. You want something for $5,000? Go buy a used Yugo. And you get a Yugo. It's the same old story. You get what you pay for, and if you don't do anything, it could wind up costing you a lot. And by a lot, I mean a lot. So what is it? I don't know what for you what it's going to cost. But I've only gone over two issues. I'm going to go over more when we come back from the break. But we've already seen the difference. With pre-crisis planning, we have abundant care options. With in-crisis planning, we have limited care options. With pre-crisis planning, we have the choice of best care. With in-crisis planning, you take what you can get. So we're going to take a little break here in a minute or so. Now's a good time to call me, to send me an email, to sign up for the workshop, to ask me questions, to call me to get in to see me. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can order my book. You can call me and tell me you want to come to the seminar, and I'll call you back and arrange to get you some tickets. You can go email me or go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up for the workshop directly. Your choice. Pre-crisis planning, lowered stress. In-crisis planning, lots of stress, lots of guilt, lots of anxiety. I'll be back in just a few minutes. We're going to pick it up with the rest of the list on pre-crisis versus in-crisis planning. Don't go away. We'll be back here in, not very long. Time for a little break in the weather and the traffic. We'll be back here in just a second on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Welcome back to our show. Don't forget my upcoming workshop on April the 7th. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Sign up for that. Love to have you. We'll be talking about in more detail what I'm talking about today on the show. You can also call me anytime. 800-999-8007, or email me directly at bob@assetsandaging.com. I'm talking today, and we've started making a list of the difference when it comes to long-term care issues, planning, nursing homes, assisted living, care, who's going to take care of me, how are we going to make sense out of all of this. We're talking about the difference between pre-crisis planning and in-crisis planning. And we've already covered the first two. I said if you're not driving, make a two columns on a piece of paper. And at the top left, write pre-crisis planning. And on the top right, write crisis planning. This stuff was also available to you if you're on my new email newsletter list. You can get on that list on my going to my website, assetsandaging.com. And if you're already there, you can just go back to the newsletter, and this list is in front of you. So what are some of the differences? We're talking about long-term care issues. Who's going to take care of mom? Who's going to take care of dad? How are we going to do this? It's a big deal. How are you going to do this? And we're going through the list, and I want to continue with the list. The differences between pre-crisis planning and in-crisis planning. So let's talk about the next one. With pre-crisis planning, you can choose the doctor. Did you know you have the right to choose the doctor for Medi-Cal? Did you know that? Did you know that? You have the right to choose the doctor. My personal doctor actually makes rounds at nursing homes. So if I or my wife goes into a nursing home, we have the right to have him still be our doctor and come visit us in the nursing home. That's one of the advantages of pre-crisis planning. Your children are going to know, or whoever's going to take care of you, your spouse, if they don't, is who's your doctor going to be? Who do you want it to be? You have that right, but you have to plan for that. With post-crisis or in-crisis planning, I should say, the doctor is chosen by circumstance. You get the doctor at the hospital. You get the doctor in the nursing home. You get nobody that comes to your house. So good luck. So with post-in-crisis planning, you get the doctor, whatever nursing home, whatever doctor the nursing home or the assisted living has. Did you know a lot of assisted living facilities? Remember I was talking at the beginning about the industrial complex, the long-term care industrial complex. Did you know a lot of assisted living facilities have a contract with an ambulance company, and rather than calling the fire department if there's an emergency there, they call the ambulance company? And there was just a big lawsuit in California, which the ambulance company, I believe, has lost, in which Medi-Cal refused to pay for the private ambulance that the nursing home had the assisted living had a contract with. Do you know which one, if you're if you're doing pre-planning, you can find out when you go to Shady Acres Assisted Living whether or not they have a contract with their, with a private ambulance company, or whether they call the fire department. That's a huge difference, folks. I mean, a huge difference. It's just a huge difference. I don't know what to tell you. But if we're planning in advance, we get to choose. Sorry, that was my cell phone that just went off. I stopped it. I thought I turned it off. If you heard weird noises in the background, that was it. My cell phone theme, by the way, ringtone is the theme from the Pink Panther. Okay, next one on the list. With pre-crisis planning, we have unlimited or organized family access. We get to choose who's going to have access to us, who's going to have access to our medical records, who's going to have access to our financial records. Within the family, we have unlimited or chosen family access. I think that's a really important thing. Not only that, you get to choose if there's somebody maybe you don't want knowing about things. Maybe there's somebody in the family that we don't want to have access to our finances or mom's finances or whoever it is. Maybe we need to protect mom or dad or grammy or grampy from somebody. With pre-crisis planning, I get to choose all of that. Isn't that cool? I get to choose all of that. With in-crisis planning, we may have limited family access because there's four kids, but only the son Fred is on the advanced health care directive. Therefore, nobody's talking to anybody except Fred. They may not be talking to the other three kids. We may have limited family access with in-crisis planning. It's a really big issue. I can't tell you, but it's a big issue. So with pre-crisis planning, we have unlimited or controlled family access, who we want, who we don't want. With in-crisis planning, we may not have any choice whatsoever. So, your choice. Next one on the list. Again, now we've moved back over to the left column. We got two columns here, one titled pre-crisis planning and one titled in-crisis planning. The next one is with pre-crisis planning, I get to stay close to home. Oh, I get to pick a place. I get to pick around the corner because I like the place around the corner and I want to talk to them. And I didn't like the one place next to me, but I really like the one that's only a couple miles away. And so I kind of know where it is I want to be. And the family kind of knows where it is we want to be. So it's really important that we figure out whether we, and with pre-crisis planning, I get to choose. With pre-crisis planning, I get to choose. With in-crisis planning, I may have to relocate. I may wind up someplace that I don't want to be. It's just gonna be this is the first place that would take me. So I guess I got to go there. I don't have a choice because that's the only place that would take mom. I don't have a choice. With in-crisis planning, I could get, I've told some stories early on, I could wind up getting shunted off to another city somewhere, another county somewhere. It's my choice. With pre-crisis planning, I get to stay close at home. I get to pick the facility. I get the best care. With in-crisis planning, I may have to, dad may or mom may or my wife may be in another county somewhere. Wouldn't it be better, this is my own observation, wouldn't it be better if you could choose? One of the things that pre-crisis planning always brings, as opposed to in-crisis planning, is choice. It is choice. I get to choose. It's choice. I get to choose. It's choice. I don't know how many times I can say that. But choice is a really big thing. You'll notice in all of these, with on the left side, I retain my choices. On the right side, in crisis planning, I'm giving up my ability to choose most of the time. Okay, let's move back to the left column. What's another advantage of pre-crisis planning? Access to government benefits. I get to find out, would I qualify for Medi-Cal? Would I qualify for the VA? Would I qualify for the assisted living waiver program? So I know going in, as mom or dad or my spouse or whoever it is gets worse, okay, that I have some choices. Wouldn't that be a good thing? I think that would be a good thing. Wouldn't it be nice to know, well, if dad goes into a nursing home, you know, you may qualify for Medi-Cal, or you may, with little or no cost, or at least a reduced cost over whatever it's going to cost for private pay. Wouldn't it be nice to get something at wholesale, even if you couldn't get it for free? With pre-crisis planning, we get to find out about what benefits are going to be available to us to help when the day comes, instead of somebody walking into my door and say, we can't afford this, what do we do now? With in-crisis planning, you may have no access to government benefits. There's all kinds of reasons why you might have no access to government benefits, all kinds. Your documents may not allow it, they may be limiting. Maybe you haven't given the authority to the person you thought you gave the authority to, but the banks won't cooperate, brokers won't cooperate, all kinds of reasons that somebody with in-crisis planning may have no or limited access to government benefits, or not even know that that government benefit exists. I think those are important distinctions. Okay, let's move back over to the left column. With pre-crisis planning, we get a family informed and in charge. With pre-crisis planning, we can get the kids involved. We can make sure everybody knows. We can make sure we know who's going to be in charge, who's going to do what. Maybe this guy is going to take care of the finances, and this kid over here is going to handle the medical stuff because one person lives close, another person lives out of town. Maybe we want both our kids to do it. Maybe we want either one of our kids to do it. Maybe we've got a situation where it's a second marriage and we got his kids and he's got his own wishes and she's got her kids and she's got her own wishes. With pre-crisis planning, you can figure all that out calmly. And without a lot of anxiety, without having to go to in a panic somewhere, the family is informed, and the family, or whoever you choose, I'm saying family, could be your best friend, it could be whoever you choose, but the family or whoever you choose is in charge. They're informed and they're in charge. They know where everything is. They know where your bank accounts are. They know where you're. They know who to call, what broker you're with. They know the password so they can close your Facebook account or your whatever account. With pre-crisis planning, again, tension, anxiety, and stress levels are brought down because the family is informed and in charge. Move to the right-hand column. With in-crisis planning, the system is in charge. You're now in the middle of a system that you don't know anything about. That you don't know. I can't tell you how many times I get calls from clients saying, they're already clients, saying, the nursing home told me this. The assisted living told me this. Do I have to do that? And I give them an answer. And they're now back in charge. Without some resource, without knowing what was going to happen in advance, they would probably just do what the system told them to do. And, you know, people get denied VA benefits and Medi-Cal all the time because they try to do stuff on their own or with somebody not sure what they're doing, and they get wind up losing benefits, and they think, well, there's nothing I can do. You know, they told me dad doesn't qualify or mom doesn't, no, nothing I can do. And so in the left-hand column, family informed and in charge. In crisis planning column, the system's in charge. And boy, it's a system like you can't believe. Someday at a workshop, I'll do a little diagram of my chairs with my chairs diagram. I can't do it on the radio. It's too convoluted. But people are entering a system that they really have no understanding of when it comes to long-term care. No understanding of. It's harder than anybody can believe. Okay, let's move back to the left column. Pre-crisis planning. One of the advantage? Protection of home and assets. With pre-crisis planning, you can know for certainty, or almost a certainty, laws can always change, that whatever you have, whatever you've worked a lifetime for, is going to be protected. You have assigned a value to what you have. You know what its long-term care value is. You know who's in charge of it. You can protect your home. You can protect the money. You can make sure that you get the best form of care possible, which was one of the very first ones on the list. Protection of home and assets. With pre-crisis planning, you get to know that you've taken the steps that are going to lead to a smooth transition and protection of what you've worked a lifetime for. I don't know another way to say that. Protection for what you've worked a lifetime for. It's just as simple as that. Move to the right column. In crisis planning, maybe not. Maybe you protect some of your assets. Maybe you spend them all. Maybe you lose everything. You don't know because you don't know what train is about to hit you. It's the old joke about, you know, the light, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, wait a minute, that's a train. Two different meanings to the light at the end of the tunnel. In one way, you know that the light at the end of the tunnel is the sunshine coming. In the other way, it might be the train. So with pre-planning, pre-crisis planning, protection of home and assets, in crisis planning, maybe not, no. How many of you have heard you're going to lose everything? How many of you have heard they're going to take your house away? How many of you have heard all that stuff? How many of you have heard what's called the half a loaf theory, which is the dumbest theory on the planet Earth as far as I'm concerned? And yet there are lots of people who practice. The half a loaf theory is this. There's a 30-month look back. So for the first 30 months, I spend half of my money. And then if there's anything left, then I can apply for Medi-Cal. And so at least I save half the loaf. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard the half a loaf theory out of people. Why would you ever give up half of the loaf when you could keep the whole loaf? Huh? When your tax bill comes due, why don't you pay twice as much as is due? That's a half a loaf theory. You get to at least keep half. You know, I'll just pay twice as much, and then maybe they'll give me half of it back. I don't think so. So with pre-crisis planning, protection of home and assets, post-crisis, in-crisis planning, maybe not. Back to the left column. Pre-crisis planning, this is really important. Your wishes and desires are followed. I don't know about you, but that's a point that's important to most people I know. Most people, it's important to them that their wishes and desires are taken care of. I know somebody right now that's staying at home. They have no children. The person has no children. They have no natural heirs. They really don't, you know. And so they really want to stay at home, and they and this person has the money to stay at home. And so I know that the person taking care of them is completely prepared to spend all of their money making sure they get to stay home. There's no heirs. There's no legacy issues. That's what they want. Knowing that your wishes and desires are taken care of. I know someone who recently died, and their wish and desire was that their ashes be scattered under the Golden Gate Bridge. And I know that the family took care of that and made sure that that happened. But all those wishes were known well in advance, and the family was aware of them. So with pre-crisis planning, your wishes and desires are followed. With in-crisis planning, not necessarily. Because all of a sudden, we're having to make decisions that we never, ever thought we were going to have to make. And so we're now operating. Well, I know Mom wanted to be at home, but we're not prepared for that. You know, the hospital says she's got to go to a nursing home for rehab. We don't have any caregivers. We don't even know who to call. We don't know about assisted living. So she's going to the nursing home because the hospital says that's where she has to go. So we've moved her over to Shady Acres, and there she is. Now we don't know what to do. How do we get her out of there? Can we move her to assisted? Can we bring her back home? Does she have the money? Do we have the authority? Do we have whatever? So the last thing on my list on the left is with pre-crisis planning, your wishes and desires are followed. With in-crisis planning, not necessarily. Because once again, we've placed the system in charge. I think the two biggest difference, the single biggest difference between the two columns is really can be summed up rather simply. With pre-crisis planning, you or somebody you choose is in charge all along the way. You or somebody you choose is in charge all along the way. Within crisis planning, you become more a victim of the system. You simply become more a victim of the system. It's as simple as that. You're in a system that you can't know, you can't understand, you can't fathom. You don't understand the difference between observation and admission, and all of a sudden you're getting big bills and you don't understand why, because Mom was in the hospital but Mom wasn't in the hospital. Two of the kids know but one of the kids doesn't know, and they're really confused and they don't know what's going on. Mom's gone to the hospital and Dad's got memory issues, and all of a sudden it's a major mess. And now we're making decisions out of panic and pressure and anxiety and guilt, you know, the 900-pound gorilla. And we're making decisions we never thought we were going to have to make. And in many cases, we're not making wise decisions. And in many cases, the family is not able to do what that loved one wanted, because in a crisis, we don't have the time, nor the ability, nor maybe the money. So when somebody says to me, well, what does it cost to do all this? The answer is, I don't know. And at the end of the day, it probably doesn't matter. Because given the two columns, which one would you rather know for a certainty that's going to happen? All the things that happen with pre-crisis planning, or all the things that happen within crisis planning? If you want air conditioning in a car, Do you ever say, well, does that cost money? No, you say, I want air conditioning. Why? Because it gets hot in Sacramento. The larger issue is, see, people use what does it cost as an excuse to do something. Oh, well, Bob, that costs $4. $4 is ridiculous. What if I did it for two? Oh, well, maybe then. They use as an excuse to do nothing. And they do nothing because, well, that's too expensive. Relative to what? Relative to $100,000 a year for a nursing home? Relative to $120,000 a year for home care? Relative to $75,000 a year for assisted living? Relative to what? If we don't get the difference between pre-crisis planning and in crisis planning, if we don't understand that one of those is better than the other, then none of it will matter. On the 7th of April at the Crown Plaza, I'll be doing a workshop in more detail on this subject. If you'd like to come, go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can sign up right there, or you can call me at 800-999-8007. I'd love to have you. You have to have a reservation to come, and you're more than welcome to come, and it's free. My book will be available there. If you're in crisis now, stop waiting. Call me today. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Don't wait. Call today. Begin the pre-crisis plan. Don't wait for in crisis to bowl you over. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm glad to be here. Your host, Bob Scrivano. I hope to see you all here again next week. Hope to see you at the workshop on the 7th. Have a great day.